Sarge, and we don't want to spoil their fun. I'm letting you go now, but you try it on one more time, and you'll have to use both hands to pick up a spoon. And you'll need to pick up a spoon, Ned, because of living off soup, by reason of having no damned teeth. He relaxed his grip. Who taught you this stuff, anyway? Sergeant Keel, Sarge, said Ned.
You're doing a good job, Sergeant Keel.
Vimes turned to see Captain Swing advancing across the yard. He was smaller and slimmer in daylight, and he looked like a clerk, and a clerk who was only erratically careful about his appearance. His hair was lank, and the thick black strands plastered across a central bald spot suggested that the man had either no mirror or completely lacked a sense of humour. His coat, in the light, was old-fashioned but well cared for, but his buckled shoes were scuffed and generally downtrodden. Vimes's mother would have had something to say about that. A man ought to look after his boots, she always said. You could tell a man by the shine of his shoes. Swing also carried a walking stick, or rather an opera cane. It was just possible that he thought it made him look sophisticated, rather than, say, like a man carrying an unnecessary length of wood. It was certainly a sword stick, because it rattled when it hit the pavement. And it did so now, as he primly picked his way through the old targets and straw debris.
"Keeping the men up to scratch, I see," he said. "Very well done. Is your captain here?"
"I believe not," said Vimes, letting coats go. "Sir."
"Ah, well, perhaps you will give him this, Sergeant Keel."
Swing gave him a faint smile.
"You had a successful night, I am given to understand."
"We had a few visitors," said Vimes.
"Sir?" "Ah, yes. Misplaced zeal? It does not pay to underestimate you, Sergeant. You are a man of resource. Alas, the other houses were not so
resourceful."
"Ah, yes. I am afraid, Sergeant, that some of my keener men feel you are an obstacle to our very needful work. I, on the contrary, believe that you are a man of iron adherence to the law, and while this has led to elements of friction because of your lack of full understanding of the exigencies of the situation, I know that you are a man after my own heart."
Vimes considered the anatomical choices.
"That would be broadly correct, sir," he said, "although I would not aspire that high." "Capital. I look forward to our future cooperation, Sergeant. Your new captain will undoubtedly inform you of other matters as he sees fit. Good day."
Swing swiveled and walked his jerky walk back to the gate. His men turned to follow him, but one of them, who was wearing a plaster cast on one arm, made a gesture.
"Morning, Henry," said Vimes.
He examined the letter. It was quite thick and had a big embossed seal, but Vimes had spent too much time in the company of bad men and knew exactly what to do with a sealed envelope. He also knew how to listen. New captain. So it was starting. The men were watching him.
"They're calling in more soldiers, Sarge," said Snouty.
"I expect so," said Vimes.
"They gave Captain Tilden the push, didn't they?"
"Yeah."
"He was a good captain,"
Snouty protested.
"Yes," Vimes said.
No, he thought, he wasn't. He was a decent man, and he did his best, that's all. He's well out of it now.
"What are we going to do now, Sarge?" said Lance Constable Vimes.
"We'll patrol," said Vimes. "Close in. Just these few streets."
"What good'll that do?"
"More good than if we didn't, lad. Didn't you take the oath when you joined up?"
"What oath, Sarge?"
"He didn't," Vimes remembered. "A lot of them hadn't. You just got your uniform and your bell, and you were a member of the Night Watch. A few years ago, Vimes wouldn't have bothered about the oath either. The words were out of date, and the shilling on a string was a joke. But you needed something more than the wages, even in the Night Watch. You needed something else to tell you that it wasn't just a job.
Snouty, nip up to the captain's office and get the shilling, will you?" said Vimes. "Let's get this lot sworn in. And where's Sergeant Knock?"
"Pushed off, Sarge," said Wiglet. "I don't know if it helps, but he said to hell with him when he went out the door."
Vimes counted heads. It'd be said, later on, that all the watch house stayed on. They hadn't, of course. Some had slipped away, some hadn't come back on duty at all. But it was true about Keel and the line.
"Okay, lads," he said. "It's like this. We know what's been going on. I don't know about you, but I don't like it. Once you get troops on the streets, it's only a matter of time before it goes bad. Some kid throws a stone, next minute there's houses on fire and people..."